listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rockland, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi there. Welcome to the Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio and Instagram. I am your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rockland, and I am here to help you stop counting calories, carbs, and fat grams so you can easily get to a healthy weight. Get on with your life. That's what it is all about. I want you to wake up and think about your day, not your diet. If you would like to join me today, the number here is 323-203-0815. That is 323-203-0815. I would love to hear what is on your mind, what is weighing on you, because the real problem with binge eating, stress eating, any kind of emotional eating, the real problem is not food. It is what is eating at you. So give me a call and let's see if we can get to the bottom of whatever that is for you. And while I am waiting for you callers, I want to talk about something. Did you ever realize how many phrases we use that are references to a certain movie? What movie am I talking about? Here's a hint. Well, we talk about pulling back the curtain to reveal the truth. We talk about discovering in ourselves what has been there the whole time. And we say, here's the biggest hint of all, there's no place like home. That is right. I am talking about The Wizard of Oz. The characters from The Wizard of Oz can teach us a lot about ourselves and help challenge the negative ideas you may have about yourself. And of course, when you feel good, yes, Aaron, Wizard of Oz, when you feel good about yourself, it is easier to make good food choices and lose weight. So what does The Wizard of Oz have to do with overeating? Well, okay, I will explain that in a little bit. But for the 0.01% of you who haven't seen the movie or read the book, yes, it was a book first. Here's the plot. Basic plot. I'm going to do this really fast. Let's see how fast I can talk. Okay, an orphan girl named Dorothy lives with her aunt, uncle, and dog Toto in Kansas. When a nasty neighbor threatens Toto, Dorothy runs away and they get swept up in a tornado and land in Oz. Under the guidance of Glinda the Good Witch, Dorothy heads for the Emerald City to ask the Wizard of Oz how to get home. Along the way, she meets a scarecrow who lacks a brain, a tin man who doesn't have a heart, and a cowardly lion who lacks courage. When Dorothy and her new friends finally see the wizard, he tells them to kill the wicked witch, and then he'll grant their wishes. He'll give a brain to the scarecrow, a heart to the tin man, he'll make the cowardly lion brave, and he'll help Dorothy return home. They defeat the witch and her evil flying monkeys and return to the Emerald City only to learn the Wizard of Oz is actually just a nerdy guy who's fooled everyone into thinking he is scary and powerful. They also realize the things they thought were missing, they had all along. And Dorothy returns home under her own power. So great story, classic story. What does it have to do with overeating, binge eating, stress eating, any kind of emotional eating? Well, each of the characters in The Wizard of Oz has qualities or conflicts that may relate to you and your life. And when you identify and work through those conflicts, guess what? You are less likely to turn to food to resolve them. Let us start with the great and powerful Wizard of Oz. The great and powerful Oz. He thought he had to appear strong and all-powerful in order to be respected. He projected, literally, a huge and powerful image. But in reality, he was just a guy behind a curtain trying to make people believe in his strength and omniscience. He didn't think he was enough as he was, so he pretended to be something he wasn't in order to gain respect. Well, if you can relate to this, you may think you have to project a certain image to be likable. You may hide some aspect of, so you won't be discovered as a person with doubts, insecurities, fears. In other words, human, a human person. Maybe you feel like you're fooling people and they have no idea what you're really like. Maybe you put up a good front, but that front hides who you really are, who you really think you are. If you don't show your true self, then you never really connect with people on an authentic level. They connect with the mask or the image that you show, but they never really connect with you. And that leads to loneliness because you're not really getting the love from others. The false front, the mask, the part you play in life, that gets the love, not you. And when that happens, you feel empty, and then you can turn to food to symbolically fill that emptiness. So that's one character from The Wizard of Oz that I think a lot of you can relate to. We think that we have to be someone else to be accepted, to be respected, to be loved, to be liked. And then we come to the trio, the Cowardly Lion, the Tin Man, and the Scarecrow. They all lack self-confidence in some way, and they don't see themselves as they are. They don't. The Cowardly Lion thinks he lacks courage, but in fact, he shows a lot of bravery. He incorrectly thinks that courage means the absence of fear, when in fact, courage is feeling the fear and doing it anyway. And he has that in abundance. The Tin Man believes he needs a heart. He thinks he doesn't have a heart. But in fact, he shows a great deal of heart with his empathy, his sympathy, and his love. Scarecrow thinks he lacks a brain. He doesn't think he's smart. But like the Lion and the Tin Man, he also has more smarts than he realizes. So, do you imagine you're not as smart as people think you are? Does fear stop you from moving forward in parts of your life? Do you think that you don't have what it takes? You think there's something missing in you? Maybe you can relate to these characters. Your self-doubt may blind you to the reality of who you actually are and the qualities you have. Aaron on Instagram is saying, what's that David Bowie movie, Labyrinth? You have no power over me. There you go. I have not actually seen that movie. I'll have to see that. And maybe there's a whole other show coming after I see that one. Just wait till I get to Star Wars, people. Okay, so if you're focusing on what you're not, instead of letting yourself see who you are, you don't have a realistic view of you. When you feel like you're not good enough, that is painful. That is upsetting. That is a terrible way to feel in the world. And when you feel bad because you're making yourself feel bad because of the way that you think about yourself, then you're going to use food for comfort or distraction. What about Dorothy? What about young Dorothy? She wanted to run away from home because an unfair, powerful person was threatening her beloved Toto. Through the course of the story, Dorothy learns to appreciate the relationship she has in her life. She learns to take in love. She learns to take in connection from others, just as the Tin Man, the Scarecrow, and the Lion learn to appreciate their personal internal qualities. So do you think that you have to be independent and take care of things on your own instead of letting others help you? If so, you might be too disconnected from other people. You might be too independent in your relationships. Maybe you take care of other people, but you don't let them take care of you. And then you turn to food instead of people. Maybe food is the one thing that you can let in when you can't let in the trust and beauty and love of a relationship. Glinda the Good Witch, she could wave her magic wand and make everything okay for Dorothy. She could tell her about the power of the ruby slippers, but instead she lets Dorothy learn that she can take care of herself. Kind of like a good parent who can help us and do something for us, They could do our homework for us. They could do all kinds of things for us, but they don't. They teach us to do it ourselves. And by doing that, we learn to depend on ourselves, to trust ourselves, in addition to accepting help at times from other people. Glinda knew that Dorothy had what it took to complete her task. She didn't want Dorothy to change. Dorothy just needed to trust that she had the inner resources to be okay. And we all need to cultivate that kind of caring, kind, sweet response to ourselves. We need a little bit of Glinda for ourselves. Glinda believed in Dorothy, and because of that steadfast belief, Dorothy was able to move forward in her journey. So we all need that internal Glinda, that ability to believe in ourselves. And that is what a supportive, soothing, and comforting voice sounds like. And guess what? When we can comfort ourselves with words, support ourselves, acknowledge ourselves, we don't need food for comfort. See how this works? Yes. Okay. Now we come to the characters that are the most troubling and upsetting in The Wizard of Oz. These are the parts that really scared me when I was a kid and I watched this movie, and I'm sure they scared you too. They can represent the parts of us that we need to challenge. Let's start with the Wicked Witch, a scary, nasty character. She is so terrifying. Think of the witch as your internal judge, your internal critic, your attacker, your slave driver, the part that tries to kill off your spirit and stop you from living your best life. Just like the Wicked Witch tried to kill Dorothy and her pals, the Wicked Witch within tries to kill you, tries to kill off your soul. The flying monkeys, they are super scary, and they have given generations of little kids total nightmares, including me. The monkeys stop being so threatening when the witch is dead. They're the scary things we're afraid of that maybe we attack ourselves with, but ultimately they only have power if we give them power. If we feed, pardon the expression, our internal witch. So if you're mean to yourself, if you're critical, vicious, if you try to destroy yourself, guess what? You feel terrible. You feel bad. And that makes you vulnerable to using food to feel better, because guess what? Nobody has ever hated themselves into loving themselves. You can't attack yourself into feeling better. You attack yourself and you're mean to yourself. Guess what? You feel bad. And then you use food to get away from your own mean voice and feel better. And that is why it's so important to challenge this internal wicked witch and those flying monkeys. So, by destroying your internal witch, the critic and judge that attacks you at every opportunity, you're free. You are liberated. And when you feel free, when you feel liberated, when you feel good, because you don't have that nasty talking voice in your head going, nah, 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 you're not good enough, you're bad, I'll kill you. You don't need food to make you feel better. You don't need food for comfort, for just a sense of well-being or escape. You're already able to do that for yourself. So the lessons from The Wizard of Oz: focus on who you are rather than who you are not. Connect with other people in your life. Defeat your inner judge, your inner critic, your inner mean girl or nasty guy, and defeat those flying mean thoughts, all those mean thoughts flying around your mind. Defeat them. They're trying to hurt you, and they're liars. They're not true. You learn this way of relating to yourself. You can unlearn it. You could get rid of that witch and those flying monkeys. Accept yourself as you are. You don't need to change to be good enough. You don't need to change for people to like you. You can accept yourself as you are in order to get where you want to go. Guess what? Maybe you don't need to lose weight to have a relationship. Maybe you should just find someone who loves you exactly as you are. And maybe you don't need to lose weight to accept yourself. Maybe accepting yourself will actually lead to losing weight. We think that we have to change to be happy, change our bodies to be happy, and that when we lose weight, we will be happy. Guess what? It's actually the opposite. When we get happy, we lose weight. So that is my food for thought of the day regarding how the Wizard of Oz has everything to do with your relationship with yourself and with food. If any of that resonated with you, if you would like to talk with me about it, I encourage you to call me. What resonates with you? What can you relate to? Which character is most you? Which characters? What are you doing to defeat the inner witch, the flying monkeys? Give me a call and let me know. Again, that number is 323-203-0815. I would love to hear from you. Okay, let's see if I have any. Oh, okay. All right, so I am going to talk about something that was discussed in my Binge Free Babes meeting the other day. For those of you who don't know, I have a membership, an online membership group called the Binge Free Babes. Oh, looks like I have a caller. Hello.
Hi, Dr. Nina.
Hi. Hi, Josh. How are you?
Good. So I wanted to talk to you about what you were bringing up about the inner voice, the critic. I feel like it's also called the superego. And I feel like it's one of those things that pinpoint because we've inherited it in a sense from our parents, and it's become a part of who we are.
Josh, are you there? Your voice dropped off.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Oh yes, I can. Yes, we've learned. We learn to relate to ourselves this way. And that's the good news because we can unlearn it and learn a different way. And we have to challenge what we think is real. Like in the movie, the Cowardly Lion really thought he was, a giant scaredy cat. And the Tin Man really thought he lacked a heart and so on. The characters really thought they were missing something. We really think we're missing something. We really think we're not enough or we're too much. But that is a belief that we have come to. That is something that we have learned. We've interpreted our events in our past to think that there's something wrong with us and we need to change. But it's an idea.
Yeah.
And those ideas can be deconstructed and reconstructed.
Yeah, I think that's so amazing because the one thing that we generally think we're right about, like say our conscience, what we think of as good and bad is probably wrong. And that's hard to realize because we depend on our sense of right and wrong, and we never think that we're wrong about what we think is right and wrong.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you're talking about ideas about ourselves. Like we know what's right, we know what's wrong, we know it's wrong to hurt someone, and we know it's right to lend a hand to strangers and treat others as we would like to be treated. Like that's not the kind of right and wrong you're talking about. You're talking about ideas about oneself that are incorrect, that we think are true, but they are in fact false. When we have these wrong ideas about ourselves, we feel bad. When we feel bad, there's food to make us feel better.
Yeah, and I think that you made a point where it's like, well, are we thinking about ourselves, or are we thinking about other people? And I would say it's almost as if it's hard to draw that line, because how you will be critical to yourself is how you're incorrectly critical of someone else.
Some people are critical of themselves and also critical of others. Other people treat other people the way they would like to be treated, but they treat themselves the way they were treated, or they treat themselves in a harsh way, and they treat other people with so much grace and love and generosity. So which character did you relate to most as I was talking about the Wizard of Oz? Which one did you say, oh yeah, that's me, or ones? Could be more than
I almost one. I almost want to say Dorothy. So
yeah, tell us more.
Yeah, I would say Dorothy, because Dorothy, you know, part of me wants to stay in Oz. You know, part of me doesn't want to return home. And maybe because it's abusive at home, I don't know. But it's sort of like the child's fantasy of being able to get away from home. I mean, none of us had really good childhoods. And I imagine that the child's fantasy in a lot of those childhoods was to get away and to go to this foreign place. But it's interesting that Dorothy could have been split into all of these different characters. You know, if you look at it from a literary perspective, she was all of those characters. And once she was healed, maybe then she was finally able to return home. And she killed her inner witch. You know, Dorothy, that was Dorothy's inner witch, not an external witch.
So what would your inner witch be? Or what are your flying monkeys? What is your inner witch? Or warlock?
Well,
I
think exactly what we're talking about, this inherited sense of the inherited critic is probably my inner witch.
So for you, the idea is to challenge that critic. I mean, for everybody, but I'm talking to you. So it's to challenge that critic and to say, wait a minute, that's just an idea. That's not reality. Let me challenge this notion. Whatever the critic is telling you, challenge it. Throw some cold water on it, and look at, well, where did I learn this? Where did this criticism come from? Where did I learn how to relate to myself this way? And what's another way of thinking about myself?
Yeah, and I think, you know, a lot of that critic is based in the culture that we were brought up in. I mean, we could be brought up in a certain, even a religious culture that has to do with our heritage and our past and what our parents really, really took as gospel, you know? And so since it's coming from there, we had to accept it. It's not as if we could stand up at 5 years old and say, you know what, mother, I've done some research and I feel like, you know, you're not correct on this or something. You know what I mean? But we can as adults.
And I think that's what we can do now.
Yeah.
We can do it now. We can say, you know what? I learned this, and this is why I always say that I'm not about blame, but about explain. It's not about blaming parents or blaming situations. It's about explaining, well, this is what happened and this is what was said to me and this is what was done. And this, as a result, this is what I learned to think about myself. You can say now, at the age of whatever you are as an adult, to that child, wait a second, you learn to believe this about yourself because that was going on. You can say to the internal, there are two mothers, there are two fathers, right? There's the actual parents that you grew up with, and then there are the internalized parents. So if someone was judgmental and critical of you, you become judgmental and critical of yourself. You kind of take in that mean parent, and we can challenge that and take away its power and then change the way we relate to ourselves, which, you know, makes you feel much better in the world, and then you're less reliant on using food for comfort.
Say really quick that sometimes because of trauma, and this is just coming to me now, I haven't really thought about this before, but sometimes because of trauma, it can make us cling more strongly to the critic. I've had an unfortunate event, which our everyone does, and maybe we weren't so, and then because of the trauma, that, oh, now I'm going to be, because otherwise your sense of self goes to trauma, so you become even more critical.
I'm sorry, your voice is going in and out. I'm sorry. We only got
okay.
a few.
Let me just. I was just going to say, because of trauma, the critic can be exacerbated.
Yes, and trauma creates the critic. I should say one thing about trauma, because this comes up a lot, is people will say, "Well, I wasn't traumatized. Nothing traumatic happened to me. It wasn't that bad." Well, there are two kinds of traumas. There's the terrible, horrible thing that happens to you. There's the parent who dies, or the divorce, or the car accident, or the abuse, or the really bad thing that happens that's huge and traumatic. That's like the one single stab wound to the heart. And then there are the other kind of traumas, which are smaller, but it's like 1,000 small cuts. 1,000 small cuts are as painful as one stab wound to the heart. So trauma is that which causes us to feel unsafe and in the world and feel bad about ourselves.
Yeah. And, you know, it makes me think of, you mentioned a divorce, but what about fighting? I mean, if most of the time we think of our parents as getting along and they're perfectly fine, but one moment, one day they fight. And because of that, we're forced to take a side. And the side might be the side of the critic, the parent that is trying to indoctrinate us, you know, into his or her scheme. And because of the fighting and the force of that scariness, that's also kind of a way that we can become more critical when normally we weren't, because we're just, because of fear, we have to join the herd. And this is the same thing that happens in politics. You know, because of fear from either the Democrats or the Republicans, we all become more entrenched in our particular belief system.
Absolutely. And the idea is to cultivate a nurturing, kind relationship to ourselves. People can be unreliable, unpredictable, and unavailable. Food is reliable, predictable, and available. And when people are scary, when, you know, one day they're getting along with you and the next day they're yelling at you or with each other or creating anxiety, that's unpredictable. And you know, in the face of such unpredictable unreliability or unavailability, we turn to what is, what we can count on, and that is food. It's always going to taste the way you think it's going to taste, more or less. You know where to get it.
Yeah.
And so it becomes a substitute for relationships, or a way of soothing that is a substitute for someone else soothing you. Food soothes you instead of.
Yeah, and I think in the same way as you started the show, the critic is a refuge. So instead of getting to what's eating at us, as you always say, we can take refuge in the critic and say, as long as I'm being mean to myself, I'm at least doing something good on this front of dieting, being overweight, etc.
I would say that it is a way to displace other conflicts, because if you're worried about food or you're worried about your weight, you're not thinking about things that are weighing on you. It's easier to get mad at yourself for what you're eating than it is to grapple with certain uncertainties of life and relationships and unpredictabilities and things you can't control. It's sort of a way of turning on yourself. And many times, you know, when I ask the question, if you weren't able to think about food or weight or any of those things, what would be on your mind? It's some, you know, some relational issue that is painful and difficult that people don't want to look at. And so it's easier to focus on food than it is to look at whatever it is they're trying to escape. And that's why emotional eating is, people think of it as, oh, I feel bad, so I'm eating something. No, it's so much more complex and complicated than that. And when you're curious, not critical, when you're curious, you're more able to discover what that is. And so for you, you know, to talk to that inner, you can relate to Dorothy. You know, what would you say to Dorothy? What would you say to that little girl who feels lost, who's trying her best? What would you say to the little boy within you who needs some encouragement, some reassurance, some guidance?
I feel like it's psychoanalysis. I feel like because psychoanalysis can allow the lion to find out that he does really have a big heart. And, you know, talking to with people and listening to what they say and listening to what you say, but also the good things that you're saying to yourself. And I think that's how we can become more whole, because we can see that we really do have qualities that we're looking for in other people. I mean, sometimes we think someone else is the greatest person on earth, but we don't recognize that we're that way. We could be that way too. And instead of depending on someone else to always be there for us, to support us, we can say, you know what, I'm going to make myself like that in more real sense.
So that would be Glinda the Good Witch. So if we go back to the characters of The Wizard of Oz and look at how they are an allegory about our relationship with ourselves, we need that supportive person within us to be there for us, to guide us, to support us. Yes, we need it from the outside, but we also need to give it to ourselves. And often people turn to food when what they really need is some Glinda the Good Witch response. When people need comfort, reassurance, support, they attack themselves and then end up eating to get away from their own mean inner witch or warlock. And so that's why the relationship with ourselves is everything.
Yeah. I was just going to say that, you know, even if our parents told us, I love you, it doesn't mean they actually did. And I think that a lot of the problem comes from not having love from the parents. But it's not something that we should really necessarily dwell on if we're able to access this part of us that you're talking about. And that just makes me think of loving oneself. You know, we can love ourselves if our parents didn't. Just as if a poor person who grew up with no money is able to work and build and create wealth for himself or herself. In the same way, we can create a wealth of love for ourselves that we may not have had growing up.
I love that, Josh, that... I want to challenge you to change a pronoun a little bit. I love that analogy to wealth. I want you to say, rather than use this language, which is very general about society and people, why don't you say, using the first person, say, I can create a loving relationship with myself. I deserve love.
Yeah, I think that's where I'm going. And
say it. I'm challenging you to literally say it, not just talk about it as a concept, but say it to yourself with witnesses. I deserve love.
Yes, I feel like I definitely do. And for me, it's about how to do it. And that's something to get into a later time. But I think that a lot of it just has to do with what you do for yourself that helps you to become creative, relaxed, peaceful. It could be, I know that you like painting, I think. So like, I feel like it may be painting for you. For me, it's making that can create, instead of dwelling and say, I'm so depressed, I'm so miserable, I'm so crazy. It's almost as if maybe meditation, at least for me, since you want to talk, you know, about myself here, that can be something that can provide that love.
If that works for you, that is fine. But meditation is the ability to be with yourself, which is wonderful. But you also want to cultivate a sense of lovingness towards yourself. And I noticed you still didn't say it. You did not say the words, I deserve love. You still talked around it. I'm going to call you on it.
I do deserve love, but so do you. You also deserve love.
Stop. Notice what just happened. And Sharon, I see your question on Instagram, and I get to it in a second. Josh, I want to point out what just happened. Instead of you saying, I deserve love, you said, I do deserve love, but so do you, right? It's so hard for you to just own it and sit with it and have it be. You wanted to then take care of me, that I deserve love too, and so does everyone else, and so does everyone listening and all of that. I want to challenge you to just say, I deserve love, and leave it there.
Yes, I do deserve love, Dr. Nina. And I think that's the reason I'm calling, because the reason why I would even call is because I do feel that. And so psychoanalysis does have a part to play. Your show has a part to play in it. Our relationship to food, at least for me, has a part to play with it, part to play. But I think that for me, it's really a very positive,
Josh, I'm sorry, your voice is dropping out again. I am so glad that you see the benefits of contemporary psychoanalysis and psychoanalytic thinking, which is really all about self-discovery from a place of curiosity and understanding yourself in a different way. Please practice the I deserve love and just let it stay there. Just silence. And I want you to do that for yourself. And call us back next week and let us know how it goes. I deserve love, and then quiet. Let's see what happens.
Okay, yeah. And I was just going to say that you might disagree with this, but even if you're not with yourself, immediately, there seems to be a part of positivity and maybe community that can help. That's all I would like to say. And part of this conversation is that me.
Thank you, Josh. I absolutely believe in community. That's why I have my Facebook community, Dr. Nina's Food for Thought community. That's why I have the Binge Free Babes and the Diet Free Divas membership groups, because I believe in the power of community. There's something so relieving about knowing that you're not the only one who is going through something, and that you're not the only one who struggles, and that you're not the only one who's conflicted in this way. It's very powerful to see yourself in other people and get support from other people. Taking in the support of the community is fulfilling and feels good, and that can take the place of food. So
yes,
thank you, as always, for your thoughts.
Doing, I was just going to say, what you're doing is you're putting yourself out there, and being positive is just so, it's everything. So thank you very much.
Oh, thank you, Josh. And thank you for being part of part of I want to say the show, but it's about more. It's about thank you for being part of this mission. My diet free revolution, my mission to help people change the way that they relate with themselves, which of course is going to change everything with food. And that leads me to Sharon. Sharon says she feels the lack of unconditional love led to a lot of shame and lack of self-confidence. Of course, how do we know that we're lovable? We know we're lovable by the way we're treated. And when we're treated, not just like I think Josh earlier said, parents can say they love you, but that doesn't mean you feel loved. Love is much more than a word. It is an action. And so if you are not treated in a loving, nurturing, warm way, how do you ever feel worthy of love as a child? And kids are not able to say, well, my parents are kind of organized this way, and they came from their households in which they weren't treated in a loving way, so they never learned how to be loving, and therefore they're unable to give me what I want. No, children don't do that. Children say, what's wrong with me that I'm not feeling so loved, and therefore I'm not feeling so lovable? What did I do? And they say, oh, what's wrong with me? And then they think, I'm going to figure out what's wrong with me, and I'm going to fix it. Whatever's wrong with me, whatever's bad about me, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to make myself good. And when I make myself good, because surely I must be bad, then I'm going to get the love and the treatment that I'm not getting now. Children think it's them. And this gives them this hope. You need hope as a child, because if you were to realize, you have parents who are incapable of giving you what you need, incapable, that would be devastating. So kids give themselves hope on some level. Oh, I just need to change myself, and then they'll change. The problem is there was never anything wrong with you in the first place, and this way of being in the world just ends up with you feeling like there's something wrong with you, but you can't really say what it is. You just feel vaguely bad about yourself and unlovable, and you have to hide yourself and put on a facade to be in the world, and therefore you never feel truly loved because people love the facade and not you. And then you're empty, and food fills the emptiness, and you can see where that goes. And so reconstructing that and looking back, Sharon and anyone who could relate to this, is feeling bad about yourself is shame. Guilt is, I feel bad that I didn't do this, or I should have done that and I didn't, or I did that I shouldn't have done. That's guilt. Shame is, there's something wrong with me. Guilt is, there's something wrong with what I did, or there's something wrong because I didn't do it. Shame is, there's something wrong with me. And Sharon, it's impossible to feel like there's something wrong with you and have confidence. Shame shame and self-confidence do not go together. They are on the opposite sides of the coin. If you have shame, you cannot have self-confidence. But if you have self-confidence, you cannot have shame. So self-confidence comes from a sense of feeling overall good about who you are, not having to be perfect, not having to look perfect, not having to be at some perfect weight, not having to have some perfect job, forget perfection, F perfection, guys. No, self-confidence is about feeling good about yourself, even though you're not perfect. You are perfectly imperfect. Liking the things that you like about yourself, loving the things you love about yourself, and being able to say, okay, these things I'd like to change about myself, they're not going to make me feel bad about me. Maybe I'll work on them. Maybe I won't. But overall, hey, I'm good with me. That is why self-confidence is everything. Yes, Josh is now on Instagram saying self-confidence is so important. Exactly. Because when we have self-confidence, that's like back to the the Wizard of Oz, that's like that inner Glinda, the good witch, saying, hey, you've got this. You can do this. I believe in you. You're telling yourself that. And that makes you feel good. That makes you feel good. And when you feel good, guess what? You don't need food to feel better. You don't need food to escape the bad feeling. You just feel good. And then eating is just breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks. Is it good? That's it. And that's the goal. So challenging the shame and recognizing that you learned to feel shame. People who are treated badly by neglect, by big T trauma or little T trauma, 1,000 cutting words are just as painful as one terrible incident. Feeling bad about yourself makes you feel that you are bad. There's something wrong with you. That's shame. And that's why really challenging this notion that there's something wrong with you intrinsically. This is just a learned. This is an idea. This isn't reality. This isn't truth. This is a notion that it is so necessary to challenge. And here's where it goes back to the $60 billion diet industry that tries to sell us the notion that if we look a certain way, if we get to a certain weight, then we will feel no shame. They don't put it in those words. They don't overtly sell us that message, but they sell us the message that if you get to a certain weight, you're going to feel good and your life's going to change. And if you didn't have enough friends, guess what? You're going to have more friends. People are going to like you more. You're going to have people want to be with you and the shame will be gone and you'll be born anew in this glorious way and life will be golden. No. You know what happens when you lose weight? The scale changes to a lower number. Maybe you also have a different size to your jeans. That's it. Your life does not change. Sharon is saying being raged at or disciplined for differences of opinion led to eating my feelings. Yes, we have a natural developmental task of differentiation. And that is to decide, well, you know, my parents and my family believe this, but do I believe that? Do I believe all of it? No, I think differently. That is a healthy and good thing to do. It's called individuating, differentiating. But often that is met with fury, anger, hurt even. No, you have to be like them. You've got to be the narcissistic extension of them. And if you're not your parents, if you don't think exactly as they do, they're going to get mad at you, as in Sharon's case. You're going to get in trouble, as in Sharon's case, or other parents get sad. And that leads you to feel terrible about yourself just for thinking differently, just for being your own person. You know, and you have to give yourself the right to have rights. You have the right to think differently. You have the right to think, feel, believe, whatever it is that you think, feel, or believe. You don't have to be a clone of other people. You get to be you. And so I encourage you, Sharon, to think about how that might be an automatic thing that you do. Maybe it's hard for you to disagree with someone or have a different opinion. So I would challenge you to give it a try. Disagree. Have a different opinion. See what happens with a safe person. And maybe that will heal some of the past experience. Right? We want to not continue the past and have it replay over and over and over again, just with different people. We want to break free of the past and be in the world with others, with ourselves in a different way. Being Glinda and not being the Wicked Witch, or not flying at ourselves with those creepy monkey thoughts. No monkey brain. To be able to really be encouraging and supportive of yourself, which I know, Sharon, you are of other people. So the idea, be to yourself as you are to others. If you're nice to others, be nice to yourself. If you're generous with others, be generous with yourself. Don't attack yourself when you need comfort, when you need kindness, when you need support. Give yourself what you really need, which is support and kindness. And when you do that, when you attend your feelings directly, then guess what? You're not going to eat your feelings. You're not going to step them down. You're not going to focus on your weight because you already feel okay. You feel good. So that, of course, easier said than done, which is why I'm here weekly at 11 a.m. Pacific here on LA Talk Radio, live on LA Talk Radio and Instagram. If you would like to listen later, check out The Dr. Nina Show on LA Talk Radio, which is available on Apple Podcasts or anywhere that you get podcasts. Thank you so much for joining me today. Thank you, Sharon. I'm glad you were part of it. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining me today. I want to tell you that someone is asking, how can people care more about other people than themselves? I don't know. That probably depends on, that has something to do with those people. You want to be on the lookout for people who care. You know what? That is a great question for next time. But briefly, it's because it's safe to take care of the needs of others. It's safe to take care of the hurt feelings in others. Yes, it could be because we had to take care of our parents. It's safe to take care of other people and their feelings and their trauma and their whatever they're going through. To take care of ourselves, we got to get in touch with thoughts and feelings and memories that we may not want to get in touch with. Okay, I am over time. Sorry, Ronan. Please join me next week, same place, same time, and please stay curious, not critical. I'll see you soon. Oh, I lied. I have one more thing to say. Please go to my Dr. Nina's Food for Thought community on Facebook and join a group of, I think we're up to 800 people who are there to support each other, men as well as women. If you're interested in the Binge Free Babes or my other programs, go to Dr. Nina Inc., drninainc.com and see what I have for you. I've got free stuff on there. I've got lots of stuff there. Have a great week, everyone. I'll see you next week. Bye for now.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.